If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. I told somebody the other day, I will never preach from the Sermon on the Mount again. I kid, but it seems like every time it's time to preach, it's the Lord just makes me walk through it before I can preach it to you. Today is not a hard message. It just comes at a hard time, because it seems like every time it challenges me in my faith, challenges me. And so I prepared this message last week in preparation that I was going to be gone all week for Camp Joy. And so I had my outline there so that I could read over it, and I brought a commentary so that I could kind of read through it and just do some stuff here or there. But I planned it out, and it's a part of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus starts talking about prayer. And do you find that the busiest times either draws you to prayer or away from prayer? That stress can either draw you to prayer or pull you away from prayer. And it's like, it really changes the situation. It changes the outcome. It changes your attitude based on which way you fall into those areas and those categories. And this past week, luckily, I fell into the prayerful category. And not, I want prayer, and I've been trying to make prayer more than just this time in the mornings that I take, but just this walk throughout the day that I can just have a conversation in my head sometimes out loud, just talking with the Lord, not because I'm mad, not because I'm frustrated, just because things pop up in my head something makes me think about a situation. And we've got several people in our church who are, I've got a couple in the hospital, we've got some dealing with loss, we've got just a lot going on around. And as these people pop in my head, I tried to get to that moment that it might not be the longest and probably the most well-spoken prayer inside my head, but it is a moment, an opportunity for me to do what is the most valuable thing I can do for people, that is pray. I think we need to get out of the habit saying, well, the only thing I can do for you is pray. That's the best thing that you can do for anybody in any situation. I assure you that prayer is so much better than whatever words of encouragement or advice that you can give to somebody. It's just a short spoken prayer. And this week, well, really the last 2 weeks with VBS and then Camp Joy following right behind it, it's just been this moment that maybe that formal sit down with Jesus in the mornings didn't go as well as it has on less busy days, but the throughout the days and when situations came up and when the opportunities popped up in my head, I never missed an opportunity. I don't remember missing an opportunity to just stop and just pray and just ask God to move. Now, what we see in Judges chapter 7, starting to verse 7, or Judges, Matthew chapter 7, I read it judging others right above the 7 in my Bible, sorry. Matthew chapter 7, starting to verse 7, says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he? If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And I see in this these verses, this invitation from Jesus. I don't think it's a demand. I don't think it's an imperative. I think this is a calling. This is an invite for us. He says in there, ask, seek, and knock. You see, I believe Jesus is telling us that he wants to hear from us what we need. Now, this verse is not a calling for the prosperity gospel. This is not a verse that I go around and I pray for a brand new truck, this right color, the right, all the things that I want, and then I sit in my front porch waiting for God to deliver that to me. I don't think that's the calling that God has when it comes to prayer. I don't think that prosperity necessarily comes just from prayer. But I do believe when we ask what we need, God tries to provide, or God will provide, excuse me. When it says, when our spirit lines up with God's spirit and we start seeking the things that he wants for us in our lives, he's guaranteed to act in our lives. He's guaranteed to respond in our lives. He said, ask. And it said to seek. Now, asking is easy because oftentimes we understand needs, and when we're hurting and we're frustrated and we're in times of this, we see what we need. Have you ever been exhausted and you just ask God, God, give me just a little bit more energy, or just give me a little bit more so I can finish out what I'm doing? All right, in those moments in time, we understand 100% what it needs. We're not asking God for energy to conquer the world. We're asking God the energy to survive a day. And oftentimes, if not every time, he gives us that. We often misinterpret and misunderstand that oftentimes I believe God lives at the end of our rope. And we stay up here with all the things that we can do, but when we ever get to the end of our rope and we really start crying out to God, we see who he really is at that moment, because we can't rely on our power and our strength and our resources. We just got to fall on God and say, God, I just need you to show up. I just need you to do something. So asking is easy in those times of need, but seeking is hard. Seeking means that we're not 100% sure what our needs are. We're not 100% sure what we need. We don't have this surefire answer. You ever come up with a situation and you don't know how you're going to conquer it, how you're going to defeat it? You don't know what needs to happen or who needs to do. We don't understand. So how do we pray to God what it is that we need when we don't know what it is that we need? It's simple. Jesus said, seek. If God wants to answer our ask, do you not think he wants to give us advice in our seeking, our direction in our wandering? I don't know about y'all, but I spend more time in the seeking than I do asking. Spend more time saying, God, what is it that you want? Where is it that you're moving? Who is it that I'm supposed to be doing? God, what is going on in and around me? I find myself in that area more than I find myself understanding 100% what it is that I need and asking God for it. See, asking for our needs that we see is easier than seeking needs that we don't see. And lastly, he said, knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, I'm fascinated by this aspect of the prayer, and we're going to be talking about these three things all throughout the prayer, the knocking. And I was reminded during worship, and I opened my Bible, I was trying to find it in Scripture, that I remember this past Easter, this guy made this point that I never really thought about, that the stone was rolled away not for Jesus to get out, but for us to get in. Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away so that he could get out of the tomb. We've got to know that and understand that. Later in Scripture, when the disciples had locked themselves in the upper room, it said that the doors and the windows were shut. And if you've ever been in an attic, that's not a good place to be, because that's basically what an upper room is. And in the upper room, when you were up there, most of the time the windows were open and the doors were open to get as much circulation and ventilation up there. And so the fact that they're in that upper room, a bunch of people, and they got everything shut up, means that they're scared and they're terrified. And it said that Jesus appeared among them. Think about that. It didn't say Jesus entered through a window or a door. Jesus didn't climb up through the floor. It said that Jesus was just there. It happened on the, road to Emmaus when they were just talking, and then all of a sudden Jesus is just right there in their midst. What's the point in this? When we're knocking, it's not because God can't get in. It's because we can't get through something. God has no problem coming to us. The problem rests with us getting to God. And those dividers are not placed there by God to see if we're faithful enough. Those dividers are placed there by us to separate us from that God. And so this knocking is saying, hey, I want to knock down. I want to remove the things that keep God from being with me and me from being with God. So asking is easy when you know the need. Seeking is a little more difficult when it's hard to find the need. Knocking is a lot more difficult when you start realizing the problem with your prayer life is not God, it's you. And the reason you're having to knock is not because God is not there, it's because you've built a wall between you and God, and therefore you need access to him. He does not need access to you. You see, Jesus invites us to pray, but those invitation leads us to three truths that we can build off of. Number one, prayer is for everyone. It's not designed for the faithful. It's not designed for the deacons. It's not designed for the Sunday school teachers. It's not designed for the best of the best. Prayer is designed for everyone. Now, there is limitations to that. I believe the first prayer that God will ever hear from is the prayer calling out to Him. If you're lost and in your sin, God will never hear a prayer from you until you say, God, I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to invite you into my life. And at that point, prayer opens to everybody. One of the biggest problems we have in the church and why people don't understand the power of prayer is because they're not opened that door to prayer. They haven't accepted Jesus. They hadn't called out to Him. They hadn't made Him Lord of their life, and therefore they cannot pray to Him. But as far as those who have called on the name of the Lord, who has made Him Lord of their life, prayer is for everybody. It's not exclusive to the best and the brightest. You see, prayer is us asking, and what is the response? Jesus said, it will be given to you. Think about that. Ask and it will be given. Again, we can't ask for anything, but if our ask line up with God's will, guess what? We can get everything that He has for us. I heard this story, and I don't believe it to be biblically accurate, but I think it does apply to this, and it does help us understand that this guy got to heaven. And as he was being led around and shown around all the greatness of heaven, there's these big warehouses off in the distance. And he just couldn't understand what those warehouses were. And he asked and he asked and he asked. And after the thing, the angels finally took him to the warehouses. And he opened it up, and it was all the blessings and all the answered prayer that we never asked for. If that was biblically accurate, how heartbreaking would that be? How heartbreaking would it be to see what it is that God wanted to do in your life and we never asked Him? How awful would it the understanding be, all the people in your life that God wanted you to win to the Lord that you didn't because you never asked Him? There's going to be a great weeping as in our throne judgment if we're going to stand before God. It's not going to be that which we answer for as far as what we did in response. It's what we didn't do in calling. See, I believe we have moments and opportunities in this life that are only present themselves one time. And if we don't cash in on those opportunities, we miss out on it for a long time. And that's a blessing that ends at that moment. Because we've not asked. We've not asked God to lead us to people. We've not asked God for the strength. We've not asked God for the wisdom. We haven't asked God for a great abundance. We haven't asked God for people to flood into this church. We haven't asked God for salvation to come into this country. And unfortunately, we haven't asked God for a great revival to sweep out. Because most importantly, revival doesn't start with a church. It starts with an individual. And if we want revival to start, it's going to be with us asking God to start revival in our life. What happens when we ask God to start revival in our life? Things have to change in our life. And then He said, not only ask and it will be given to you, He said, seek and you will find. There are things in life that you're just not going to know. You're just not going to understand. You're just not going to get unless you seek. Now, we live in a generation and time where seeking is not a thing that we do much anymore. Pondering, wandering. We have answers at our fingertips. I told y'all this. I don't watch a movie without my phone in my hand, because if somebody's in that movie and I can't figure out where I know them from, I got to get online, search it so that I know what other movies that person played in so that I can destroy that distraction in my brain so I can continue the movie on. We kids today will never understand what it means to go through the index of a library and try to find a book that you're looking for, or have to go to an encyclopedia, which I don't even know if kids know what those are anymore, and have to research inside of a library and do all this stuff in which we didn't have knowledge at our fingertip and understanding in our hands. We've forgotten what it's like to seek. Because everything comes so easy. Everything comes from the internet and from the great, great World Wide Web. And we've lost this desire to seek. I started praying this week that when I read my Bible, that that God will help me seek. Not just read some words, not just understand some stories, but seek out the truth of what is written, the truth of what I'm reading, and the truth of it has in my life. To seek, because we will find. Then he said, knock, and it will be opened. Now, again, in the society that we live in, people don't knock on our doors much anymore. We don't have company anymore. When they do knock on our doors, we're leery of them. It means they're trying to sell us something, or they're something off, or things like that. We get scared if people come by. It used to be, if you heard a knock at your door, you got excited. All right, I remember running through the house. Company's here, company. You know, like, we're excited. I don't know if everybody called it company, but that's what my family called it, is company. And now, if somebody knocks on the door, I look at Heather and I'm like, "You expecting anybody?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "Who's coming?" And usually it's a bug guy. I used to think I could be a bug guy until they had to start going door to door knocking on them. And I'm like, I'm out now. I can't even be a bug guy anymore, because I don't want to knock on people's door, because I don't want them knocking on my door. And they come up and they knock, and the curiosity's not there. We don't really want people to bother us. We don't want people around. You see, we forget the joy of hearing the knock. Now, I remember there are days and times when my family, my parents had to work, and we were kids, we were left home. And the rule was, if somebody knocks or somebody rings the doorbell, you don't answer the door. Now, would y'all agree with me, one of the most torturous things that you can do is listen to somebody knock on the door and not answer it, ring the doorbell and not respond, or listen to a phone ring. I can't handle somebody who won't answer a phone. Turn it on silent or answer the phone. The only worst person in the world besides the person that won't answer the phone is the one that sets an alarm that will not turn it off. I don't understand you. And in that moment, I wish bad things upon you. Okay? It happens at every youth event that I've ever been to. One guy is going to get this bright idea to wake up early, and he wakes up the whole household and never once wakes up with his alarm. I think it was Will Ivey was at the ski trip, and I finally walked in there and said, "Will, shut it off, or I'm going to shut it off. I have no business up at 5:30. I can get ready in 10 minutes." There's this desire inside of us that when we hear a phone ring, or we hear somebody knocking or somebody calling out, there's this desire inside of us to answer, correct? If a phone was to ring right now, most people would reach into their pocket and see if it was theirs. If we have that desire, what makes us think that God doesn't? We're made in His image. And I believe when He hears a knock, He wants the answer. Number one, prayer is for everyone. Number two, prayer has personal responsibility. If we want to receive, what must we do? We must ask. If we want to find, what must we do? We must seek. If we want it open to us, what must we do? Knock. I saw a video the other day that a guy was calling his landlord because his doorbell wouldn't work. And for weeks, he kept calling him, and for weeks, nobody came out, until he finally checked his camera and realized the guy was coming to his apartment, ringing said doorbell, and nobody would answer, and then he would leave. It's hard to get your doorbell fixed if the only thing they're doing to get in is ringing the doorbell, right? We must knock, and it will be opened. So three invitations: a prayer is for everyone, prayer has personal responsibility, and lastly, is a reminder that God is good and we are not. It said in verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him?" Now, anybody in here ever had a prayer that wasn't answered? And it frustrated you in that moment, and then about 5 years later, you look back and say, "Well, thank God He did not answer that prayer." If I got the first prayer that I ever asked, I wouldn't be married to Heather. I'd be married to some girl from Op. I wouldn't be at this church. I wouldn't experience a lot of the goodness that came into my life, because sometimes the answer is no. Because sometimes the answer for our children is no. Why? Because we know what's best for them. And so therefore our response sometimes is no. A lot of times for us parents is no. But it's not because we hate them. It's not because we're mad at them. Not because we don't want to be good parents. It's because we understand what's best for them. And the same thing goes for us. We must understand that God is good. In spite of the outcome, in spite of the prayer, in spite of the yeses or the noes, God is good. We are not. And so we cannot be upset with Him. Those are the three truths. Three invitations also show us our condition. I'll try to get through this briefly as we're coming to the end. If God is close, guess what we get to do? Ask. It's about relationship. Something happened, and I was going to talk about it tonight. So come back tonight and pretend like I didn't say this, okay? At the second camp at Alpha or Omega Camp for Camp Joy, it dawned on me that oftentimes we look at sin as good and bad. So we judge our life based off of are we good or bad. And if we're good, we don't have much sin in our life. If we're bad, we have sin in our life, correct? That's the way we judge it based off the things that we do. And sin means to miss the mark. And so sin is not about good or bad. It's about distance. It's about closeness or far away. Are we close to God or are we far away? And so when I talk about if we're close, do you have sin in your life or not have sin in your life? Do you have a lot of sin? Do you have a little bit of sin? When we have a little bit of sin in our life, that means God's close to us. That relationship is open in which we can just communicate with Him like He's standing next to us, right? But it goes on to say, but if He is distant, if there is sin in our life and we're separated from Him and we can't ask because He's not close to us, we get the opportunity to then seek. We get the opportunity to find out what's wrong, find out what's coming between us, find out how we can close that distance and that gap. Over the past several weeks, me and Heather's had a hard time as a couple spending time together because they're there at VBS, setting up for Camp Joy, Camp Joy, set up for VBS. Her over here with Addison, me over here with Evan, and it becomes this distance between us. And the only way to close that gap when those times come up is to actually spend time together. And it says if we're distant from God, guess what? We can still ask Him. It's going to take a little seeking in the process. We've got to seek that closeness with us, and then we can ask again. And then it goes on to say if God's behind barriers, guess what? They get to do then. We get to knock. And again, where do those barriers come from? They come from God. Did God wish to be behind a barrier between us? No, the barrier is sin. The barrier is the things in which we build up in our life and the things that we place between us and God. And we have those areas in our life and it allows us to knock. Unfortunately, when we build them up, we can't tear them down. We just got to knock and ask God to tear them down. Shows our condition in which we are seeking. Asking, seeking, and knocking shows our distance in relation to God. And the last thing is this, we must be reminded that these three invitations and our condition are founded in three nails. In verse 11, if you look at that, it says, if you then, being evil, now that's how it starts. If you then being evil. So this is not me calling you evil. If you're reading this scripture, it's the Bible calling you evil. Okay, so don't get mad at me. He said that even you being evil, all right, me being evil, if you go down a little bit farther, we being evil, will your father. What does that mean? Even us being evil, we get to call God Father. Think about that. Think about the love that God has for us, while even in our worst, we can still call Him Father. Why? Because life and death of Jesus is the foundation of the promises of God and the foundation of the prayer in which we ask. Why do you think it's so important for us to end our prayer in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name? Because in this moment, He's pushing forward what's going to happen. That this prayer that He's offering, this advice is seeking, asking, and knocking, will be answered on the cross. And He will offer us an opportunity in which we can be in communion with God forever. Now, I alluded to something earlier today. I want to end with it. There might be people in here today that's never had a prayer. answered. Never had a communication with God. And I tell you, and I rest assured that I've experienced it in my life too. Number one, I didn't become a Christian until I was about 15 years old. And the moment that I entered God into my life, I was able to ask and call and do those things. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that should be the first prayer that God ever hears from you, is you calling out to the Lord and God. Secondly, there's been times in my life in which it felt like the prayer hit the ceiling and come down, and there was no communication with God. And there was no opportunity for me to talk with Him. It just seemed like I was talking to thin air and nobody was listening. And I tell you what, the problem with those times wasn't because God wasn't there, it's because I wasn't there. I wasn't able to get myself in a place, in a position in which I could see God, hear God, or listen to God because of my pride, because of my sin, and because of a lot of different areas. There might be some people in here that feel that way today, that their prayers are just empty and just falling on the ground. I assure you that problem is not with God, it's with you. And there might be some people in here today that, you know, your prayer life is amazing. Your prayer life is great. Well, I ask you on this day to pray for those who aren't. Pray for me as I continue to seek, knock, and ask. Pray for areas of opportunities to pop up as us in a church to start seeing what it is that God's going to do. There's never a reason for us not to be at the altar. There's never a reason for us not to fall on our face before God and say, God, what is it that we can do, or how is it that we can do more? God, please use us. I don't know if you stand there not knowing who God is, or you stand there with sin in your life, or you stand there in great communion with God, but I say there's a call for us in this scripture to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.